Pandavas, who are those Pandavas? That is where we left this morning. The Pandavas were 5 demigods. The Pandavas were Jamraj. Yudhishthir Maharaj is the son of Dharma, Dharmaraj. Bhim was the son of Pavan Dev. Arjun was the son of Indra Dev. And the Ashwini Kumars appeared as Nakul and Sahadev. Not only the demigods appeared, the demons also appeared. Many of the, like Kamsa, who was Kamsa? Kamsa was Kalnemi. In this way, different demons also appeared as the in different royal families, like Shishupal, Jarasandha. Jarasandha was Hiranyakashipu's expansion. And Shishupal anyway, so this is how all the demons also appeared. Maybe someday we can discuss about that. So, in one hand the demons were there and the demigods were there. And like Drishtadyumna was Agni Dev, fire god appeared as Drishtadyumna. Another personality is Surya Dev's son is Karna, but he's ended up in the wrong side. So, anyway, this is how the Lord's pastimes was arranged by the Yogamaya. Like, Mahabharata is the most amazing drama. There has never been a drama like Mahabharata. Those who know the art of drama, they see that Mahabharata is the most perfect drama. The conflict was perfect. The arrangement, the sequence of events were perfect. And what is the purpose of the drama? The drama is the Leela of the Lord. Leela means drama. But Leelas are Lord's drama. Whereas ordinary dramas are enacted on the stage by human being, written by some author. Someone writes a drama, then somebody enacts them. But Lord's drama, when he comes and he performs his pastimes, is a perfect drama, and that's called the Leela. So these are the Leelas. And what does the Leela do? The Leela develops our attachment to the Lord. We become attracted to the Lord in the most wonderful way. And we'll notice, when you hear Mahabharata, you will notice, like we develop such anger towards the villains, Duryodhan, Karna, Shakuni, Dushasan. In one hand, we develop such deep anger towards them, which actually enhances our attachment to the Pandavas and Krishna. So, these 5 sons were born from as sons of Pandu, and they were up in the Himalayan mountains, surrounded by the sages, in a very, very spiritually uplifting environment. And the children were growing up in the association of sadhus, great, great rishis and munis. And Pandu was leading the life of a banaprastha, sort of, being cursed. Like generally, one accepts banaprastha at an old age, when the sex desire reduces considerably, or sex desire practically disappears. But here, he was a young man, kshatriya, powerful kshatriya. It's only because of the curse that he was restraining himself. And the other consideration also is the drama. Like it's a drama, like Pandu had to succumb to the curse. The curse is there and he had to succumb to the curse. So one day, it was springtime, the whole atmosphere was very beautiful, and the forests were looking like a beautiful garden full of flowers, and beautiful birds were singing sweet songs, and the animals were there in their full majesty, roaming around in the forest. And this atmosphere, a springtime, also provokes the Adi Rush, the original mellow of sex desire in a man. So being in that situation, Pandu was roaming in the forest with Madri, and he became so afflicted with a desire to have Madri. And Madri tried to run away. Madri told him, "Please, what did you forget the curse?" But Pandu couldn't listen. He was so much overwhelmed with this desire. Madri tried to run away, but Pandu ran after her and got her. And then he left his body. So Madri started to cry, wailing, sobbing. Kunti heard the cry of Madri. She came running and she saw Pandu is dead. So she started to chastise Madri. How could you do that? How could you allow this to happen? You knew very well about the curse. That's why we all came to the forest. Then Madri narrated the whole incidents. Then Kunti could understand that it was a course of destiny, that it had to happen. So then the arrangement was made for Pandu's funeral. Both Kunti and Madri wanted to follow. But then Madri pleaded to Kunti that one of us has to stay on. Kunti said, "I am the older one, therefore I have the right to go. So I will go with my husband." Now here we can see that pratha of sati, the custom of sati, is not something that is forced upon somebody. One is to voluntarily accept that due to their intense love for their husband, that the wife used to follow the husband even after death. So now here is they are arguing who should go and who should stay. They didn't want to stay. Kunti said, "I am going to go. I am the older wife. One of us has to stay, agree, because the children, somebody has to take care of the children." But then Madri pleaded that it is because of me that he left his body. He left his body unsatisfied. So it is my duty to follow him and take care of him and satisfy him in all respects. So then finally it was agreed that the Madri would go with Pandu and Kunti would stay back. Then after the funeral rites, after the cremation of Pandu, the sages took the Pandavas and Kunti to Hastinapur. Now in the meantime, another thing happened. Pandu got married to Kunti and Madri, the princess of Gandhar, Gandhari, the daughter of Gandhar, Gandhari, the daughter of King Shubal, was proposed to marry Dhritarashtra. Now she was a celebrated beauty, an extremely virtuous person, renowned for her noble character and wonderful qualities. and extremely beautiful. But she is now married to Dhritarashtra. So when the proposal came, Bhishma actually made that proposal that Gandhari could be married to Dhritarashtra, the blind king. Gandhari immediately accepted that. And not only that, when she heard that her future husband is blind, she voluntarily accepted blindness. She took silk cloth and tied her eyes. Because the Vedic culture says that a woman, the wife, should not exceed the husband. The woman should remain subservient to the husband. Now, if the woman's quality is higher than the husband, then she supersedes the husband. So that's why Gandhari voluntarily accepted blindness when her husband was blind. If he is deprived of his eyes, if he is deprived of his vision, then I also voluntarily deprive myself of my vision. So, in this way, Gandhari was married to Dhritarashtra. And Vasudev blessed Gandhari that you will have 100 sons. But while Gandhari was pregnant, actually it was considered to be very unfortunate. It was very unfortunate for them that although Dhritarashtra was the elder brother, he couldn't become the king because he was blind. Although Dhritarashtra actually inherited the kingdom by birth, but he couldn't become the king because of his blindness. And there was some hope that Dhritarashtra's son would become the king. But the news came that Kunti gave birth to a son, Yudhishthir, even before Gandhari's children could be born. The pregnancy went on for a long time and the child was not born. So she was feeling very... When the news came that Kunti gave birth to a son, Gandhari became so upset, so frustrated, that she hit her pregnancy, hit her abdomen. And as a result of that, there was a miscarriage. A lump of flesh just came out of her womb. And she started to cry. That Vasudev blessed me that I'll have 100 sons. Now his benediction proved to be futile. So at that time Vasudev came and Vasudev told, get 100 pots, and that lump of flesh was divided into 100 pieces. Kept in that, soaked in the pot in oil. And as a result of that, in course of time, 100 sons were born. And that is headed by Duryodhana. And one daughter also was born, that was Dushala. So 100 sons and one daughter was born out of Dhritarashtra in this way. So in course of time, these children also grew up. Dhritarashtra's children also grew up. But there was a nagging dissatisfaction in the heart of everyone in the in that family, that any day Pandu's sons can come and claim the kingdom because they are older. Now Dhritarashtra could not become the king. So this was his great disappointment. Therefore, his tendency was to at least let his son become the king. The name itself actually means that, indicates that. Dhritarashtra. Rashtra means state, kingdom. And Dhrita, holding on to. Although he is not qualified, he is not trying to hold on to his kingdom. And when Duryodhana was born, the eldest son of Dhritarashtra, all kinds of ominous signs started to display. The jackals began to howl in the middle of the palace. Then pus and urine started to fall from the sky. And there were all kinds of inauspicious signs everywhere. So Vidur could understand that this child is going to be the cause of the destruction of the dynasty. So he told Dhritarashtra, "Dhritarashtra, get rid of this child. This child of yours is going to be the cause of the destruction of the entire family." And he said, "For to save a family, one member can be sacrificed. To save a village, one family can be sacrificed. To save a nation, one village can be sacrificed." So, but Dhritarashtra was so attached that he could not listen to Vidura's wise advice. So when the Pandavas are brought to Hastinapur, an animosity developed between Dhritarashtra's sons and Pandu. It was mainly due to Dhritarashtra's sons' envy that they developed this kind of animosity towards the Pandavas. Pandavas were very noble, very gentle, excepting Bhima. Bhima was so powerful and he was a bully. He used to, when they used to play, Bhima used to beat up Duryodhana and his brothers. Sometimes when they would be swimming in Ganga, Bhima would take 2-3 of Dhritarashtra's son and go under water and make them suffocate under water. And in wrestling, he would defeat all of them and beat them up. Sometimes when they would climb up a tree, Bhima would shake the tree and they would fall from the tree. So because of Bhima's power, they became even more envious. And then Duryodhana decided to, although they were a child, they were just children, it was so vicious, the mentality, that Duryodhana decided to kill Bhima by giving him poison. So one day they made an arrangement that they would go for an outing, picnic, on the bank of the Ganges. And so they went, they swam, they played, and then after that they were hungry. So Duryodhana invited Bhim, "Come, I got some special food for you." And made him eat all those food stuff that was mixed with deadly poison, deadliest poison, Kalkut. Kalkut is actually the poison of the king cobras, the most deadly poison. And he gave this poison to Bhima in the food that he fed him. And soon Bhima became unconscious. So Duryodhana and his brothers tied him up by his hands and feet and threw him in the river. So when it was getting late, like everybody was planning to go back home, and the Pandavas started to look for Bhima. "Where is Bhima? Where is Bhima?" And they couldn't find him. Then they thought maybe Bhima has gone home ahead of us. So they thought that, okay, maybe. So since they couldn't find him in the forest, like, they all came back home and then they found that Bhima didn't come back. So they went, again went back, the Pandavas went back searching for Bhima everywhere, they couldn't find him. And they went and reported to Vidura, this is what happened. Vidura said that maybe Duryodhana has done something to him, because he could see that Duryodhana was extremely envious of Bhima. And he said, anyway, don't tell anybody, don't express your suspicion of Duryodhana, and let us see. He said, don't worry, because the demigods at the time of their birth predicted that they will rule the kingdom. These five brothers will rule the entire earth planet. So demigods' prediction is not going to go in vain. So don't worry, Bhima will come back. In the meantime, when they dropped him, hands and feet tied up in the river, Bhima went to the nether world, and he fell on where the snakes were there. He fell on the snakes, and the snakes became angry and started to bite him. And as a result of that, this poison of the snakes acted as an antidote. And you know that when there is a snake bite, then what is given? A snake poison is given to counteract that. So they gave Kalkut, which is a snake, poison of snake, and it counteracted, and Bhima got very angry. He came back to his senses, and he got very angry that the snakes are biting him. So immediately he tore open his... He was so powerful that with a snatch, he tore it open, with a snap. And tore open his hands and feet, and he started to kill all the snakes. And many, many snakes died, and then the snakes, being afraid, they reported to the king of the Nagas, king of the snakes, Nagraj Vasuki. So Vasuki became curious that a human child is killing these snakes like this. And he came out and he found that it was Bhima. And he took Bhima to his palace and he took care of him. And he gave Bhima to drink the nectar that they have, the nectar that the snakes have. And Bhima drank 8 big big pots of nectar. And as a result of that, Bhima actually got the strength of 10,000 elephants. And then after a few days, Bhima came up and he appeared to his mother and brothers, and Bhima narrated what actually happened. So Pandavas also reported to Vidura and told Vidura that this is what has happened. So Vidura again advised them that don't tell Duryodhana, don't show that you have any suspicion. But Duryodhana knew that this is what has happened, so his envy became even stronger. Now he started to plan just to get rid of them, to kill them. So he told his father, the father, there's a very nice place called Varanavat, and why don't you make arrangements for the Pandavas to go there? And along with Shakuni, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra made the plan that the Pandavas will be burnt alive. And Dhritarashtra became a party to that. So this way we can see that how people can become so blind and heartless. Prabhupada mentioned that Dhritarashtra was not only physically blind, he was also spiritually blind. And that is even the worst kind of blindness. Spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness. So in the meantime, Duryodhan arranged for one of the ministers called Purochan to build a house, a palace, made of all kinds of inflammable articles, inflammable objects, inflammable materials, like shellac, ghee, and fiber that would immediately burn to ashes. So that was called the house of shellac, Jatu Griha. And Pandavas were sent there. They were told that this is a beautiful arrangement been made for you all, so please come and stay there. So Pandavas agreed and they went. But while they were going, Vidura, in a mysterious language which is called the, has been described as Mlecha language, the language of the Mlechas, most probably English. So he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, who also knew that language, that this is what's going to happen. Be careful of this house of shellac and make arrangements. When there is fire, the way to escape from it is going under the earth. When there is fire above ground, the safety is under the ground. And through the ground, you escape. Meaning, dig a tunnel. And soon after that, when they were alone, the other Pandavas and Kunti asked, what did Vidura tell you? Then Yudhishthira Maharaj told him what Vidura actually warned him in Mlecha language, in a symbolic way, that this is what's going to happen. This house that we are going to is a house made of shellac, inflammable objects. And he told us to be careful and how to escape by digging a tunnel underground away from the house. And soon Vidura also sent an expert tunnel digger. So the Pandavas, during the day, they used to roam around acquainting themselves with the forest and other areas nearby, and at night they used to dig the tunnel to make this. And Duryodhan was very clever. Duryodhan told Purochan not to burn the house immediately after their arrival, then people will suspect. So he said, give a long time to go by. When nobody will have any kind of doubt, then you set the house on fire and let the Pandavas get burned with their mother. So then when the tunnel was complete, then they decided, Pandavas decided to escape. And they called a feast, they arranged a feast and fed the brahmanas. And it was a massive, it was a beautifully arranged feast, a huge feast. Hundreds of brahmanas, thousands of brahmanas came and they were fed. And after the brahmanas were fed, the servants were fed, then anybody who was there also was fed. So there was some Antaja woman with her 5 children also came to the feast. Some Nishada mother with her 5 sons came to the feast, and they ate so much that they couldn't move. So they fell asleep. So Pandavas, of course, didn't know that. They thought everyone has left. And then they escaped through the tunnel and lit the house in fire. The Purochan was the only one in the house, and in the fire Purochan got burnt, and this Nishada woman with her five children also got burnt. So when the fire was blazing, all the village people came and they could recognize, they could understand that this was Duryodhan's mischievous plan, wicked plan to kill the Pandavas. It's Duryodhan that has made this arrangement. And so they escaped. Pandavas escaped, and the village people, then when the fire subsided, then they found out that their one woman's charred body along with five bodies, so they thought that Kunti and the five Pandavas now died. So they were taken to Hastinapur, thinking that these are the, and the cremation took place there, and they performed their Shraddh ceremony thinking that they all are dead. Now in the meantime, Bhima and Kunti and the Pandavas escaped through the tunnel. They came to a forest, and when they were resting in the forest, a demon, Rakshasa, called Hirimba, he saw these human beings there in the forest. So he told his sister that after a long time we got the opportunity to taste some human blood. By the arrangement of providence, some nice food has come to us. So you go and get them for me. And so Hirimba, his sister, came, and when she saw that these mother and children were lying, and one son is guarding them, seeing that handsome son, she became attracted to him. And she approached, she assumed, this Rakshasi can assume any form. So she assumed the form of a beautiful woman and came to Bhima and asked him to accept her as his wife. So Bhima said, look, I can't. I have an elder brother who is not married, so how can I marry you? And besides that, we are running away with our life. And this is not the time to get married. And now in the meantime, Hirimba, when he saw that his sister is taking so long to come back, he became curious, and he came there, and he found his sister assuming this beautiful form is wooing this human being. So he became very upset, and he decided to kill her also. So then Bhim challenged him, and a fierce battle took place, and in that battle Bhima killed Hirimba. So after he killed Hirimba, in the meantime everyone woke up hearing this noise, and so Kunti then Kunti and the Pandavas, they just saw how Bhima actually killed all these, or killed this demon. And then Hirimba approached Kunti, expressing her desire to marry Bhima. So Kunti said, okay, since she wants to marry you, marry her. And so then Hirimba took Bhima away with her mystic power again. They spent some time together traveling through all the beautiful places, and in course of time a son was born, Ghatotkach. His name was Ghatotkach because he was bald-headed. There was no hair on his head. And a very powerful son was born. And so after the child was born, then Bhima came back to his. The Rakshasis give birth to their child right after the intercourse. So this is how Ghatotkacha was born. And Bhima came back, and then they traveled through the forest, and then finally they came to a village called Ekachakra. And in the village Ekachakra, they started to live like the Brahmanas. They were hiding themselves, that they were hiding their Kshatriya identity, and they were living in the house of one Brahmana. Then one day, they heard that when Kunti heard, when the sons were away, that there was some cry, sound of crying coming from inside the house. So she went in and found that the father, mother, and their son and daughter are sitting together and they're crying. And while crying, the father is telling that, "I have become an old man, so let me go. Let me go, because what is the value of my life now?" But the wife said that, "My life doesn't have any value, because after all, if you go, then I won't be able to maintain myself or maintain my children. So better you stay and I go." Then the son said, no, let me go, because it is my duty to take care of you. I, as your son, how can I let you die?" So in this way, they were talking, and then Kunti found out that there was a Rakshasa called Baka, and he was eating the residents of that village, that indiscriminately he would come any time and kill the people and eat them. So the village people made an agreement with him that once every month they would send one human being with a lot of food for him, and he won't attack them. And different houses had their turn to send a person to be eaten by the Rakshasa. Then Kunti said, "Look, don't worry, I will send one of my sons. I have 5 sons, so I'll send one of my sons." The Brahmana said, "How can that be? You are my guest, and it is my duty to protect you. Now, if I become the cause of your death, then I'll go to hell. So I can't let it happen." So Kunti said, "Don't worry, my son is strong enough to kill that Rakshasa. So as a mother, I would naturally wouldn't have sent my son to death. I am confident that my son can kill you, kill the demon. That's why I am proposing that he goes." So in this way, Kunti convinced them. And so when they came back, Kunti told the Pandavas that this is what happened and this is what she decided. Then everyone was, Yudhishthir was very upset. "Mother, why did you make this arrangement? What if Bhima dies?" Then Kunti said, "Bhima can kill the Rakshasa. Didn't you see how he killed Hirimbo? So he'll kill Baka also. You don't know the strength of Bhima." So in this way, and Bhima also said, "Who cares about this insignificant demon? I can kill even all the demigods single-handedly." And so this way, Bhima agreed to go, and in a buffalo cart, with two buffaloes. The whole lot of food was prepared and carried to that particular spot where Baka would come. So Bhima was very fond of eating. So while going to the Rakshasa, he was already started to eat the food. Then he came to the spot and he sat down and he started to eat all the food that was assigned for Baka. Baka Rakshasa. So, and Baka came and he became furious when he saw that this human being is eating his food. So he uprooted one tree and started to beat Bhima. But Bhima was not at all affected by that. Bhima said, "Wait till I finish my food, then I will take care of you." Saying that, Bhima finished his food, washed his hands and mouth, and then he stood there to face Baka. And a fierce battle ensued, and in that battle, Bhima killed Baka. He just picked up his body and started to whirl it above his head. And as a result of that, Baka became dizzy. And then he threw him on the ground. And then he pushed his back with his knee. And with his hand, he just pulled up the rest of the body and broke his body in the middle. And then he left the body on the outskirts of the village and he went back home. So in the morning, all the village people came and saw that this Rakshasa is dead. So they inquired from that family, what happened? So that Brahmana family said, one Jaksha came to us and assured that he would take care of this, and this Jaksha actually killed him. So village people were very happy, and the Pandavas kept on staying there. Then one day Vasudev came and informed that the princess of Panchal, Draupadi, is going to select her husband in Swayamvara. And Vasudev suggested that the Pandavas also go there. And village people also, other Brahmanas also were going to see this glorious occasion, how the celebrated the most beautiful woman on the planet, Draupadi. Draupadi was celebrated for her beauty. Another name of Draupadi was Krishna. So she is going to select her husband. And the condition for winning her was also very difficult. The condition was that above head, a chakra would be rotating, and above that there was a fish, and the chakra had one hole. Like the chakra would be rotating, and through the hole one had to shoot an arrow to strike the fish. So that means the chakra with a hole is rotating, so just at the time when the opening comes to the fish, the arrow has to pierce the fish. And that also one cannot shoot looking up. One had to look down on the reflection on a plate of water. On a plate of water, looking at the reflection on the plate of water, one had to shoot the arrow. So many kings came. But what to speak of shooting the arrow? They couldn't even string the arrow. Many of them couldn't even lift the bow. It was a celestial bow that was in the house of Janaka. It was another bow of Lord Shiva. So Lord Ramchandra, you remember, broke the bow of Lord Shiva to marry Sita Devi. So it was also similar kind of bow. And they couldn't, many of the kings, they just while trying to lift, they fainted. They exerted so much strength, so much, and it was still so heavy that they fell on the ground. And so finally Karna came. Actually, about Karna we forgot to discuss. Actually, that's the problem with Mahabharata. It's so vast that to cover every single incident becomes a little difficult. Anyway, to give a little history about Karna. Kunti, you remember Kunti got the benediction from Durvasa that she could call any demigod. So she was just a little teenage girl at that time. And so she didn't know what it actually meant. And she, out of curiosity, wanted to taste the mantra. So at a solitary place, she actually looked up at sun, and chanting the mantra, he invited sun god to come. And then immediately the sun god came, and she saw in his majesty, he is standing in front of her. And then sun god proposed that the purpose of calling actually was to have her. And she begged, please, I am unmarried virgin. The sun god said, this calling me is not going to go in vain. You will have a son. But it won't affect your virginity. Your son that will be born from our union will appear through your ears, through your ear. And so, and immediately a son was born with a, just like dazzling and effulgent as sun god himself. And he was born with a natural armor and earrings, kavach and kundal. So he was born with natural armor. But Kunti, out of shame, she put that boy, newborn baby, in a box and put him in the Ganges, in the river. And the river carried the boy, and one Adhirat Suta, a chariot driver, found him in the river. He was childless. So he thought it was a benediction from the demigods. So he took that baby, offered it to his wife Radha, and she brought up the child as her own son. So therefore another name of this boy was Radheya. And so Karna grew up with an intense desire to learn the art of fighting. And he approached Parashuram and learned the art of using weapons from Parashuram. But he lied. Because he was not a Kshatriya, he was not qualified to learn the art of using weapons. Because in the Vedic culture, the social system was very rigid. Only the Brahmanas had their specific duty, Kshatriyas had their specific duty, Vaishyas had their specific duty, and Sudras had their specific duty. So although he had an intense desire to learn the art of fighting, but he was not qualified by birth. Therefore, he lied to Parshuram, knowing that Parshuram had an inherent hatred for the Kshatriyas. So he told him that he was a Brahmana. And Parshuram, and he very soon he became a very dear disciple of Parshuram, because he was so skilled, he was so extraordinary in his skill of using weapons. But one day when Parshuram was resting with his head on his lap, Karna's lap, one Indra appeared as an insect, a terrible insect that pierced through his thigh and went into his bone and started to eat his bone. But thinking that his spiritual master, thinking that if he shook himself, his spiritual master would wake up, and he didn't want to cause any disturbance to his sleeping spiritual master, Karna just sat there, tolerating that pain. And when Parshuram woke up, feeling some liquid, touch of liquid, and he woke up with a start, and he found there was blood. And then he saw what happened. That insect has gone inside the body of Karna, but Karna did not budge. Karna did not move. And Parshuram said that you are not a Brahmana. A Brahmana cannot have this kind of tolerance. Brahmana will not be able to tolerate like that. You lied to me. So he cursed him that at the most critical time you will forget the mantra that I taught you to use weapons. Those days they used to fight with the mantra. They didn't fight with just bows and arrows. They used to empower the arrows and the other weapons with mantra. And anyway, so Karna, so in the meantime, Dronacharya taught the Kauravas and Pandavas the art of using weapons. So Dronacharya, Arjun was Dronacharya's most favorite student. And Arjun was also an extremely diligent student. For example, one day while they were eating, the lamp got extinguished. The room became dark at night. And they were eating. And Arjun could see that although it is dark, in darkness he could eat. Put the food in his mouth. He didn't have to see it. So from that, Arjuna considered that it is also possible to shoot arrows in dark, although I won't be able to see. So thinking that, Arjun started to practice at night. So one day Dronacharya saw that Arjun practicing at night, and he is shooting his targets without fail. He was so expert. So Dronacharya accepted him as the most dear disciple. And Dronacharya then gave Arjun all the knowledge that he had. He gave Arjun Brahmastra. But Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama, became envious. Oh, you gave him Brahmastra, you have to give me Brahmastra also. Dronacharya said, look, in order to receive the Brahmastra, you have to be qualified. You have to be really self-controlled. You have to be really be able to restrain yourself in the most difficult situation. But by nature, you are so fickle and you have a wicked streak in you. So I'm afraid to give you Brahmastra because you may misuse it. But anyway, upon the persuasion of Ashwatthama and due to his filial affection, Dronacharya gave Ashwatthama the Brahmastra. and which we will see later on how he misused the Brahmastra. And then when the education was complete, when the training was complete, Dronacharya arranged a tournament where these princes will display their ability, display their skill. So, and Arjuna was excelling everyone. He started to display such amazing skill. He shoot an arrow and it created a fire. And then he shoot another arrow, it created rain and extinguished the fire. And then when the fire was extinguished, he used a wind weapon and that drove all the cloud away and stopped the rain. And in this way, Arjuna started to display his amazing ability. And then everyone was saying, this is amazing, we haven't seen such ability before. But then, one person just entered into the arena and said, I can show all that he has done. I can do what he has done and I can do even more. And he started to display all that art and skill that Arjuna displayed, he started to repeat that. And then finally, he challenged Arjuna. Said, it's a tournament, so I'm challenging him. And everyone became worried. And seeing him with his natural armor and earring that he was born with, Kunti could recognize him. And Kunti, seeing him, just fainted. Nobody could understand why Kunti fainted like that. And Vidura splashed water and brought her back to her senses. And so at that time, Bhima asked, Dronacharya asked him, if you want to fight with the king, with the prince, then you have to give your identity. Who are you? Because the prince is not going to fight with just anybody and everybody in a tournament like this. So Karna became ashamed. He looked at the son and with broken heart. That at that time Adhirat came into that place and embraced Karna and as addressing him as his son, and Karna offered him obeisances. And then all the Pandavas started to laugh. Oh, he's a son of a Suta, son of a chariot driver, and dares to fight with a prince. It's like a jackal daring to fight with a lion. So at that time, Duryodhan, who was always envious of Arjuna, and he was already impressed seeing Karna's skill and valor. So Duryodhan immediately got up and said that I am offering him the kingdom of Kalinga. No, I'm sorry, kingdom of Anga. And he immediately coronated him. And a big commotion took place. And the day came to an end, sunset, so they all went back. And Duryodhan found his ally in Karna. And he took him to his palace and told him that I am prepared to give you my entire kingdom. But Karna said, I don't want anything. The way you treated me, I am indebted to you forever, for my life, and you can rest assured for my friendship. So this is how Karna and Duryodhan became allies. So Karna appeared in the Swayamvara of Draupadi, And then Draupadi expressed her unwillingness to marry a suitor. And it is also Vedic custom that a man from a lower class cannot marry a woman from higher class. Because a woman from higher class, according to Vedic culture, is superior and should be treated like a mother. Like a man from higher caste can marry a girl from lower caste. That is allowed. But a man from lower caste cannot marry a girl from a higher caste. That is called pratilom marriage. That's undeveloped. Because it is something like marrying one's own mother. Because a woman from higher caste is treated like a mother, or should be treated like a mother. So she refused to accept Karna as a possible candidate for a husband. Again, ashamed, Karna looked at the sun and with his head bent down, walked away from there. So when no Kshatriya was there, then Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, stood up and declared, if there is any Brahmana who would like to contest in this and win her hand. So naturally, when all the Kshatriyas failed, all the Brahmanas naturally didn't have any possibility. But Arjun just stood up. And when Arjun stood up, all the Brahmanas, actually, all the Brahman, there are areas where different people are sitting. Kshatriyas were sitting in one area, Brahmanas were sitting in one area, and so forth. So when he stood up, all the other Brahmanas tried to pull him down, said that this guy has gone crazy. He has gone mad seeing this beautiful princess. But some other Brahmana said, why not? Let him go. If he wants to give it a try, let him give it a try. If he wins, then it will be simply a glory to the Brahmanas. And finally, Arjun came to that area, picked up the bow. Very easily he strung the bow. He picked up the arrow and looking at the water reflection of the water, he shoot his arrow, and the arrow went through the hole of the revolving, rotating disc and hit that metal fish, and then the fish dropped. Everyone became so excited. They all started to say, Jai, Jai. But some of the kings became very upset. They thought it's a disgrace. They considered that Draupadi invited them to his palace to insult them. So they got together and decided to attack Draupadi. They didn't want to attack Arjun at first. And some said that Kshatriya shouldn't attack the Brahmanas. But if the Brahmanas attack us, then we can fight with them. Now in the meantime, seeing that these kings are and the princes are going to attack Draupadi, Bhima picked up a tree and he just stood there. Said, okay, let's see. And although they were equipped with bows and arrows and swords and lances, Bhima and Arjun just made a pulp out of them. All those kings were defeated. And then they started to wonder, who are these people? Is this Parashuram again came in disguise? And now in the meantime, after the wedding, they went to the house of a clay pot maker where they were staying. Kumbhakar's house. Kunti was there, so they arrived there and they asked. They told, Mother, today we got some very amazing object by begging. Because they were Brahmanas, they used to go out begging every day, and they used to come back and give it to Kunti, and Kunti used to distribute them whatever they got. So Kunti, when she heard that they came back from begging and they got some very amazing object, very amazing thing, so Kunti just said, okay, five of you share it among yourselves. So then they realized what has happened. And mothers, first of all, mothers' words cannot be neglected. So in this way, in Mahabharata, we see the quality of virtue and the principle of morality. That their Pandavas were the emblem of virtue. They were just sticking to the truthfulness and virtue and morality. So the Kunti told them that, well, I made a mistake. I didn't know, you should have told me. But Yudhishthir said that since you said it, we have to accept your words. And then it was decided that the five brothers will marry Draupadi. And in the meantime, Dhrishtadyumna sent spies. No, he himself came with some brahmanas, following them to find out who they actually are. And when they came and saw, they overheard them speaking, then they realized that these are the Pandavas. So he went and reported to his father that these are the Pandavas. And his father Drupad always wanted Subhadra to marry Arjun. He always wanted Arjun to become his son-in-law. So he was very happy. But when he heard that five brothers are going to marry his daughter, he was very, very shaken. He said, how is it possible? Then Vasudev came and instructed that actually, in a previous life, Draupadi was a princess and she wanted to have a suitable husband. Therefore, she performed austerities to invoke the mercy of Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva came and asked, what do you want? So she asked five times that I want a husband. I want a husband. I want a husband who will be extremely glorious. I want a husband who will be extremely powerful. So since five times she asked, so Lord Shiva said, okay, you'll get five husbands. You'll get married to five husbands. So in this way, now the news went to Dhritarashtra that Arjun actually won Draupadi and Pandavas are still alive. So Bhishma then immediately arranged to bring the Pandavas back to Hastinapur. So in this way, the Pandavas came back and it was decided that the kingdom would be divided into half and Duryodhan will be ruling over one half and Pandavas will get the other half. But the other half that the Pandavas got was a barren land known as Khandaprastha. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was happy just to accept that. And it shows when a virtuous person goes, if he goes even to a desert, the desert becomes heaven. Prosperous as heaven. So, Pandavas then went to Khandaprastha and there they set up their capital, Indraprastha. And in no time, that place became so prosperous. Thousands of brahmanas just came to reside, to have the association with the Pandavas. And many Kshatriyas also came to be with the Pandavas. Then the Vaishyas came to have their trading in that area. So in this way, in no time, this Khandav Prastha became the most prosperous place. So, and then there is also some other things that happened that increased the prosperity of that place. That we'll discuss tomorrow. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Actually, this is taking so, Mahabharata, as I told you, is so vast that I'm seriously considering even how am I going to cover even up to Shoptik Parva, that is the battle of Kurukshetra, end of the battle of Kurukshetra, and what happened after that in the next chapter. So I will try to cover that. But the thing is, like, the way I arranged it, the way I thought of doing it, I'm still not able to catch up with that. That's why I'm not asking questions. Anyway, does anybody have any question? Let us see. Yes, Radharani. Give her the mic. Just somebody get up and take the mic. And yeah, take that. Krishna?
What is the task that you do? Because Kanda, because you mentioned early in the morning, that from our part of the sea, you mentioned Vishnu's story and how everything is related to past life events. So, what is Kanda's task then? Because if we reject the past family and all the suffering that you go through.
What about the past one?
You mentioned this morning.
Yeah.
That from Mahabharata, Krishna's story, we can see how everything that happens in this life is related to past.
Has it cause in the past, yeah.
So what is Karma's past, offense, that in this life is Karma given to be abandoned by his mother, and not for the glory that could have been rejected by his guru? What did he do that he let go through all this?
Yeah. Well, the one way to look at it is, you see, Ramchandra's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes are kind of counterpart. In Ramchandra's pastimes, Surya's son was his ally, and Indra's son was the enemy, Bali and Sugriva. So in these pastimes, Indra's son became the ally and Surya's son became the enemy. So it was just the counterpart of the pastime. Okay, okay, just one last question.
You mentioned that Karna was having the desire of learning art of military, but he was not like us Kshatriya. But we, like from our Gita, we know that the society was based on Guna and Karma. So if somebody is having the desire, so he can learn the art.
Yeah, very good question. You see, in other ages, the social structure was so rigid that a Kshatriya used to take birth in a Kshatriya family. A Kshatriya-like soul is to come out of Kshatriya mother and father. Right? And Kshatriya father and mother were so Kshatriya-like that they would only invite a Kshatriya-like soul. Similarly, the Brahmanas. Therefore, in those ages, we find that the Varnashram structure is very rigidly followed according to birth, because the birth did have some effect, some influence. But in the age of Kali, there is Varna Shankar. It's a total mixture, admixture. So there is no proper Varna consideration. So that is why they were so, in Bhagavad Gita, we find that Arjuna was so concerned about creating Varna Shankar. And yeah, so that is, and that, like in other ages, the Varnashram Dharma was so prominent that they rigidly followed that principle of Varnashram. Whereas in this age, since the Varnashram has been rejected or got mixed up, therefore the prominence is actually devotional service to the Lord. And yeah, so that will be the general answer to that question. Okay, another question. He had his hands up last. Okay. Not necessarily. A female can be a male in next life, or a male can be a female in the next life. That will depend upon jang jang bapi smaran bhavam tajat tante kalevaram. With whatever thought one leaves his body, accordingly he gets his next body. If the husband leaves his body thinking about his wife, then in his next life he'll get the woman's body. It can be either way, as I said. Like one can be born as a male can be born as a male again, and a female can be born as a female again, but one may not also. Like if one leaves his body thinking of his dog, then he'll get a dog's body. He may be male or female, irrespective of that. So what really matters is the last thought. And last thought is the deepest attachment. Wherever our deepest attachment is, that will be our last thought. That's why the advice is to develop your attachment to Krishna. Develop your attachment so deep for Krishna that at the time of death you'll think of Krishna only. Otherwise you're running a big risk for the next life. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Hari.